Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on planet Earth. You are appreciated and you are the best person that we know because you're here sharing your shine with us and you are so appreciated, whether you are a regular listener or a new listener. We have tons of people on iTunes that download shows to their mobile device. I get emails from people that say, yeah, I was listening to your show and I was on the treadmill and walking and out and doing stuff. So that is just so great. So there's lots of ways to listen. And just so grateful that you're here today because today's show, if ever there was someone that could turn something bad into something great on how to be unstoppable and really squeezing the juice out of living, it would be Coach Frankie Picasso. So I am really grateful that she's here. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to want to share this show with a friend. And if you want to, just before I start to read her lovely bio here and bring her on live, I just wanted to remind you that we do add shows. Today's Wednesday. Don't normally have shows on Wednesday, but we were able to get Frankie on today. So if you mark us as a favorite and follow us, you'll get the worry-free updates, and that will also help with our ratings, which I really do appreciate because we've been, you know, sometimes we're even number one in a category or in the top 1 or 2%, and I mean, it's all because of you. But you can also go to greenskyandbluegrass.com, which is my website, and sign up for the monthly motivation newsletter, and then you'll get a listing of everybody for the month who's going to be on the show, as well as some other great mind vitamin tools. So really appreciate that. But today is all about being unstoppable. A lot of us have had some experiences in life that maybe we're not so excited about, but wouldn't it be great if we could be taught how to take all of those things and use them to our advantage in our life and those of those we know? And unstoppable, Frankie Picasso is a professional certified life coach, business and master coach trainer who specializes in the impossible. And this is our guest today. She's a former coach instructor with the International Coach Academy, and today Frankie is a popular radio host. She's a great, well-known author of Midlife Mojo, love that, and human rights activist who leads, supports, and inspires anyone in her path to produce exceptional results in their lives, like all of us here today. Also seeking new projects, Frankie is working on a series of relationship books and events with author and relationship coach Kelly Wallace, and together they are known as the Love Wranglers, as well as Global Flying Hospitals to provide health care to third world countries. With over 20 years experience as an entrepreneur, Frankie was notably the first female kickboxing promoter in the world and managed the world welterweight fighter. Wow, that's pretty cool. She is trained in meditation, crisis intervention, emergency management, pain management, disaster exercises, and she is a former community emergency response volunteer. Her diverse background includes adult education, behavior management, strategic business planning, quality planning, and customer service. Frankie is the founder of Conversation with My Shoes, the Institute for Quantum Living and Conscious Design, Unstoppable Planet, and the Love Wranglers. She's also a certified laughter yoga leader, and she's a member of the Canadian Association of Journalists. And it is my privilege and pleasure to introduce Frankie Unstoppable Picasso. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Debbie, and it's my pleasure to be here with you and all of your listeners. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, you are awesome. I mean, you definitely fit into the Best People We Know club. So that's what we're all about here. And one of the things I love about your story, I mean, I don't love the things that you've had to overcome. I don't think anybody wants that. But what I love is how you really do specialize in the impossible. And you opened my mind to some new ways of thinking, and that's something that I absolutely adore doing. And I'm wondering, before we start, if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about your story and where they can find out more about you. I think I have the right website link up there in the chat room, but if you're listening on replay, that would be, tell us again what your website
is
to find
you. It's www.unstoppablefrankiepicasso.com, and that's Frankie with is an I-E, F-R-A-N-K-I-E, and Picasso, P-I-C-A-S-S-O.
Perfect. I'm glad that you did the spelling thing. No, I really appreciate that, because it's good. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the chat room, and I want to thank all the guests for being here. But we have actually more listeners download the show after, you know, hundreds of people will go after the show airs, and then hundreds more go to iTunes. So it's good that you actually stated unstoppablefrankiepicasso.com. All right. So tell us about your story, and then we'll talk about how you're going to help us be unstoppable.
Well, I'm assuming you're referring to my story of the accident.
Yes.
Excuse my voice today, everybody. I seem to have something going on in my chest here and throat. I was 46 years old, and I was married, and I had 3 children, and I decided to get myself a motorcycle. And I just wanted to have a motorcycle. I wanted freedom. I wanted out of my marriage. I wanted out of a whole bunch of stuff in my life. But I'd always been attracted to bikes. And my very first boyfriend had a Norton. And from the moment I saw him, you know, I just absolutely adored him, adored bikes and the whole thing. So I was 46, and I decided I was going to get a motorcycle. And my husband didn't. He didn't ride. And I took the course, and I passed the test, and I joined 3 bike clubs. One of them was all women, which was sort of fun. And the Twisty Sisters, that's a great name, isn't it?
It really is,
And I helped found one, and I joined another. And it was wonderful. I enjoyed it so much, and I spent a lot of time on my bike. Well, one night I was leading a ride for one of the groups, the Two-Wheel Tuesdays, we called it. And it was a great night. It was a really beautiful night. And a car just ran a stop sign and T-boned me. We were in the middle of the country. We were kind of on a country highway. We were going about probably 55 miles per hour. And the car just came out of nowhere. All I saw was this blur of red. And the next thing I know, I'm flying through the air. And I'm hitting the ground. And I'm wondering, you know, is this it? Your life kind of does flash before your eyes. And all I could think about was my kids who were at home. 11 days prior to the accident, I had gotten a separation agreement from my husband. And he was my second husband and not the father of my children. So I was really worried about my kids and thinking, wow, if I don't make it, what's going to happen? I have to make it. And you mentioned that I was an emergency response volunteer, and I had a lot of training, and so I knew all of the bad things that could be happening, and I knew I was going into shock. But, you know, at first I didn't feel anything, and all of a sudden I felt everything. It was just the most imaginable pain you could ever have. And what had happened was that I had broken both femurs and separated my hip and pelvis from my body. And horrific. It was just horrific. What can I say? The fire department came, and they couldn't do anything. They left, and a police officer, a female police officer, stayed with me. She was also a rider, and she said, you know, if they're going to come, they're going to come. It took forever. It seemed to take forever for this ambulance to come. And they took me to the first hospital where they stabilized me, and they cut off my chaps. And I'm like, don't cut them. Just take them off. I designed my outfit. It was beautiful. I loved it. And these are the silly things we think about. And I had a new bra on, and it would cost me like $70, and it was so beautiful. And I'm like, don't cut it. And they just cut everything right up your body, take it all off. And, you know, this is shock. And they sent me off to the next hospital where I had the first surgeries on both of my legs, and then a couple of weeks later I had the hip and pelvis done. And when they told me I was going to spend a couple of months in the hospital, I'm like, what? Nobody spends a couple of months in the hospital. Ended up I spent 5.5 months in the hospital.
Wow,
5.5 months. I had a great job that with a provincial government at the time. My title was Special Advisor for Spirit, and my role was to create programs and initiatives for the 60,000 public servants that would improve morale without giving them money. And that was a real challenge, and one I really enjoyed. My job was reorged. A new deputy came in. My job was reorged out the first month in the hospital. So I'm laying in my hospital bed saying, okay, you don't have a job. My husband was fighting the divorce for everything he was worth and ended up, you know, just taking thousands of dollars. And I said, yes, just go, because I just want you to go. And trying to, you know, renegotiate a house now, a mortgage without a job, and was next to impossible, but we did it. I did it. And then when I came home from the hospital that couple days before Christmas, I found out that, you know, one of my dogs had escaped. Both dogs had escaped, but one ended up dying. We couldn't find her. She was really afraid, and being out there by herself, I guess, and they found her on the side of the road, and they think that she had just died of shock. And my kids had scoured. I mean, they just went out everywhere and looked for her. So it was very devastating. A whole bunch of devastating things happened in a very short period of time. My mom had just died, you know, previous to the accident. And then about 2.5 months after I got home, the rod in my leg broke in the right femur. And I couldn't get surgery for a year. So I ended up having to walk on a broken leg for a year. Of course, I'm fighting the insurance company because we all know how insurance companies don't like to pay out. So I was fighting the insurance company for everything they were worth, and they really hit back hard and fired one of my physiatrists. And so all my treatment kind of got suspended during that year. And, you know, it's been a challenge and a fight back, but, you know, we're unstoppable when we don't give up.
Wow. Now, I'm sure everybody listening is feeling the same way I am. It's just absolutely overwhelming, the devastation and the sorrow and the pain. I mean, the physical pain, the emotional pain with the divorce, the financial pain with the money and not having that respected and being taken in, and then the job and coming home and you know, continued medical issues. And I know for me, my two dogs are like my kids, and you know, coming home with that, and then you having kids and the other loss with your mom. I mean, there's just so many obstacles that you had to overcome. And you know, I'm always fascinated because someone like yourself who's had these obstacles has really, you know, done so much good in the world. And, you know, I think it's what has happened in between that I'm excited for you to share, because you did turn things around and you did use all those setbacks to be your biggest comeback. But, you know, to me, I just wonder if you could share some of those. You know, I mean, obviously, this is a terrible thing that you went through, and it took a long time to overcome. But there must have been an aha moment or some place where you said, you know what, life is worth living, because that's your mantra right now. And I'm just wondering if you could share some of those things that happened to change gears.
Well, I think the first thing that happened was I was laying on the ground on the side of the road, excuse me, I recognized that, and I felt that it wasn't an accident. I felt that the universe had, you know, concocted this way to stop me. But, you know, previous to that, I'd been hearing the universe calling and going, you know, and I kept going, I don't know what you want. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? I think I'm doing everything, you know, I'm supposed to be doing. But apparently I wasn't, and I really did have this knowing that it was for a reason. And, you know, when you're stopped for 5.5 months and really have to reflect on who you are and life, it is a real eye-opener. And one of the biggest eye-openers I guess I could share with you is the fact that we're not anything other than who we are. And that might sound really strange, but Debbie, you're not your radio show, and you're not the wife or the dog owner or the car that you drive or any of those things. I was a drummer in a band at the time, and in a blues band. I was about to go to Shanghai because I was on a Masters Dragon Boat team that, you know, we were entered in a race in Shanghai, the biggest one of the year. And so, you know, I wasn't that anymore either. So I lost out on those opportunities. And I wasn't, you know, the person who worked at the government, and I wasn't any of those things anymore. And so you ask yourself, well, when you're stripped of all of that, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who are you? And what is your, you know, job, your purpose in life? What is your reason here for being? Because I really felt that, you know, we're not here just to go to work from 9 to 5. It just seems too fantastic and bizarre to imagine that that's our reason, you know, for being here.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things I just wanted to pause because you just brought up some really powerful points that I really want to reflect on for just a second here. The change, you know, if everything was the way we wanted it, if everybody listening, if we all had everything we wanted, everything was perfect, we were totally happy, wow. Would you want to change? No, you have everything you already want. Why change? We want to keep what we have because things are perfectly great. So, you know, it's really ironic to hear you say, you know what, there is a real good component to some tragedy or suffering because it causes us to change. Without that unhappiness, without that discomfort, without something that wasn't right, we would never consider the possibility of something else. I mean, if we have everything we want, if everything's perfect, if we're all listening and everything's exactly the way we want it, nobody's going to change. Everybody's just going to be happy where they are and just say, okay, this is great. It's just more of what I have. But no, what you're saying is that even on the side of the road, as you're laying there, you are aware that, you know what, this isn't an accident. There's some gift in this tragedy. There's some jewel to be found in the terrible junk of all of this, you know, misfortune around me by worldly standards and looking at it as a divine appointment. I think if we just consider for a moment that no matter what is happening to Frankie, to Deb, to somebody listening, Sally, John, Sue, whoever, whatever has happened in your life is all for good. And it's just a matter of finding a mentor in the moment to be able to transform it into something better, you know, towards that one question, who am I? And I love what you said. Is it the job? Is it the role? You know, when all those things were stripped away, who did you discover you were? Because that is a painful stripping. I mean, you really, I don't think many people to that degree have lost so much so quickly, so acutely. So who did you find underneath all this? Who was the naked, in that nakedness, who did you discover you were? Because clearly that's brought you to who you are today in the big impact that you're having in the world. So do tell.
Yeah. Oh, she built up the mystery so well. Thank you.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. You know, I guess I just found out that I was really a divine, you know, being having a human experience, and that my lesson here was to learn from all of the challenges that I have and to teach. And I think teach was the biggest, you know, sense of purpose, was to teach and show other people how to believe in the impossible. And when you look at the word impossible, Deb, it's I am possible.
Oh, I think, just love that. Impossible, right there in the word impossible is I am possible. I love that.
And you know, I am are the, you know, the most powerful words, that we can state, you know, outside to the universe, and they make things transform and they make things happen. And when you believe them, you know, as I said, they're super powerful. So I am possible, and I've always been a change artist. I like change. I've always embraced change, and I realized that, you know, so many people didn't. And it was funny, while I was in the hospital, and I was looking at people, and I was asked to help people, and I was, you know, people who were, you know, dare I say, less injured than I was. And yet they would take a hangnail and turn it into a broken back, you know? So the degree that things affected them were more than other people. And I wonder if it's just because of their experience, or do we all feel, you know, pain differently, or was it were they just more important than everybody else? I don't know. But one of the things I did ask was, what makes some people go through this experience positive and others go through it negative? Or just life in general. And I started to ask, what are your parents like? Who are your parents? Are they positive people, negative people? Who are they? And does this have any effect on how I'm going to make it through, you know, the next days, years, life? And can I change that? And I can tell you 100% you can change your attitude. You can change and become a positive person. You don't have to stay negative. And if you do want to stay in the negative, then understand that there is a benefit in that for you. And maybe, we'll talk about it later, maybe I call them underlying automatic commitments, or maybe a commitment to something that you don't even know about that feeds you in that negativity. But isn't it interesting how we so often default to the negative? We so often think, I can't do that.
What did you discover in your research? Because I know, you know, your book, again, is a big hit, and I know that you talk about all of these things on your website, and I'm encouraging everybody to go to your fabulous website, and, you know, it's nice to see that beautiful face looking at you and knowing who you look like behind the voice and all that as well. But, you know, what did you discover when you did this research? What were some of the common themes? Because I do think that some people, you know, all of our minds are wired in a certain way, but, you know, I think that the psychology and the studies, and I've had different guests on the show, Dr. Ellen Weber's done from the Brain Institute. She's done tons of research talking about, you know, neuroplasticity and how our brain really changes and our thinking. And, you know, there's so much hope and so much great change that we can actually put those seeds into our mind, into our heart, to create new thoughts, new feelings, new behaviors. So towards that end, what did you discover about people that look at things, you know, when there's 99, you know, positives and one negative? Sometimes we can all go to that one negative, or how do you always focus on the 99 positive? Tell us about that.
You know, it's interesting. I looked at my own family first, and my mother was Chicken Little. You know, the sky's always falling in. Something horrible's always going to happen. My dad, on the other hand, was always fantastic. You know, he could be on his deathbed. He's going to be, I'm fantastic. You know, that's just who he is. And when you project that, whether you feel it or you don't, if you can just say it, it's who you're going to be. And that's how you get to that person, you know, that positive person that most people want to be. You said it, you know, a minute ago about change happening best in chaos. That is exactly where it happens. But our thoughts, you know, people say, how do I change my life? How do I change my life? Well, you change it with your thoughts. And your thoughts start in your brain. And the people who are, as I said before, who are negative, are committed to that for a reason. But imagine this world if there weren't positive people in it. Imagine, you know, the explorers who found this country, if they were too afraid to go off and, you know, because something bad's going to happen to me. Mm. You know, they looked at things differently. The Chinese, it's absolutely amazing. They have two words for change. One is danger and one is opportunity. Which are you going to choose? You kind of have to choose both. It's a little bit dangerous to come out of your comfort zone and choose something positive that's going to be good for you. But at the same time, the opportunities are only there. That's where they come from. That's where they are. So being negative is a state of mind. Yet we are goal seekers. Our minds, you know, seek goals, and they understand that they've been here before. So once you start to transform your thoughts, once you start to say, I can do this, when an opportunity comes along that kind of scares you, you think, well, I've never done that before, your brain is going to shift and say, you've done this. It's kind of like doing that. We can do this.
You know, in the other, I just, you know, I guess, getting back a little bit, just to segue, you know, the question that you asked, I think it's very powerful, and I think people listening are asking this as well. You know, who am I? Who am I? When you were stripped of all of those things that by most worldly standards people recognize themselves with, you know, the first thing people seem to ask is, well, what do you do? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Where do you live? What do you, you know, it's like, what are you driving or who are you associating with? You know, how would you possibly know who you are? Discovering who the real Frankie is when all those things are gone, it would have never happened without that pain and suffering. And that's why I think you can say it ended up being a blessing in disguise. You know, and I'm sure that many people right now are feeling that way, feeling like, you know, maybe their job is gone, or maybe they're going through a divorce, or maybe they're dealing with having to do a caregiver. You know, this, I've always said, hey, the world's not fair. God may be fair, but the world isn't. And I think that there's some solace in recognizing all of us listening right now, whether we're, you know, in person or not, you know, the bottom line is we've all had some suffering. But what we all want, you know, but what we all want, that's not something that you did wrong. You're not, as April Claxton was on the other day from the Movement Within, and she's like, you're not broken, you're not broken. You know, the idea that, you know, you didn't do something wrong because, well, in your case, you know, you were riding a motorcycle. You didn't do something wrong because,
yeah, riding,
you know, you
were isn't bad people.
Right, right. I mean, you know, it's not like you did something wrong to have something bad happen. No, unfortunately, we are all in the human skin suit right now on this side of heaven. Hopefully we'll all be on the other side. And, you know, the idea that this is just part of life, there's some solace in that. You know, we're all in this together. But now, let's talk about how we transform those things that maybe we don't like to be grateful gifts.
Let me, you did bring something up, but I just want to state something because it's kind of important. When I was in the hospital, because I had had a motorcycle accident, I was treated differently than if I had had a car accident. It was like, how stupid were you to be on a bike? Nobody says that to people in a car accident. So they do, you know, they call you donors, right? They treat you differently, and so your mindset has to be a little bit different. It really does, because, you know, it's like you're being punished. Oh, well, you're being punished. You were on a bike. What do you expect? You know, and so you have to be strong in that and say, you're right, Debbie, there was nothing wrong with being on a bike. Being on a motorcycle is just fine. You know, I didn't cause the accident. Somebody ran a stop sign and hit me. That could happen in a car, too. So, you know, you have to be a little bit stronger with the doctors. And, you know, the doctors were quite cruel. And as a woman, you know, we tend to have a little bit lower self-esteem. And they said to me that, believe this or not, they said, your commodity as a woman has now been depleted about 30%. And I don't think that anybody would ever want you again. Look at all the scars on your body. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You said this to me? Not one, two.
Wow.
I just was astounded. Yeah, I was astounded. So, you know, if this happens to you and you're in a situation where people are putting you down for, you know, something that is truly not your fault, and even if it is your fault, it, you know, accidents are accidents, and you're not necessarily responsible for that. And you're not responsible for how people act towards you, but you are responsible for how you act in your own thoughts. And you get to choose your thoughts. You don't have to listen to what others say to you. You can just choose to think and believe what you want. That's the beauty of, you know, being who we are. We get to decide who we're going to be.
And, you know, I think that, you know, that as we're listening, as I'm hearing you speak, the idea that you really became your own best friend. You really learned who you were, and you learned to become your own best advocate. You detached from other people so that even the medical doctors or the people that said, oh, who's going to want you now because you have scars on your body? Mm-hmm. You know, that whole, I guess you would say, Hollywood, Hollywood magazines, all of that that tells us you have to be twiggy, you have to have the perfect figure, the perfect look, you know, and all of that, you were able to detach and say, no, I am not what I look like. I'm not even necessarily this body. I am the soul. I am inside of me the love that I have to give. And it sounds to me as if your life was between you and God and all the other people or the universe or whoever, your guides, however you want to phrase that, for me it's God, but that you were looking at your life at this tragic point. It was a turning point to say, my life is between me and my higher power, and all of the people I meet on the journey, they're on their own journey too. But what comes out of their mouth is what is a reflection on them. What comes out of my mouth and my mind is a reflection on me. And it sounds like you were able to detach from other people identifying who you were so that you had that peace inside your soul that didn't even respond to your own physical body, which to me is a very freeing thought. And I'm just wondering if you could talk more about that.
Hard one, though. It's not as easy as you make it sound.
So did I make it sound easy? I don't think
going,
so.
Oh,
I'm just
like
going
that.
On
you.
Know
it's a journey. It is a journey. And it was hard one. And I did learn that I could respond instead of react.
Respond versus react. Very powerful.
Very freeing. The insurance company would send me daily letters, you know, saying we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that and you're not going to get this and you're not going to get that. And I'm like, why am I being victimized more? You know, somebody hit me and my life has changed and I've got all this pain and broken body and all of this stuff and I still have it today. And yet, you know, you're telling me all the things I can't have. Tell me what I can have. Give me some good news. You know, stop with all the negative crap. And, you know, it was scaring my kids. The bills, you know, our electricity got cut off one day and all this stuff happened. And they're like, Mom, you know, are we going to, like, live on the street? And I'm like, no, we're not going to live on the street. But, you know, it was very difficult. And you learn, though. You learn how to become your own advocate, how to listen to the things that you need and feed your soul. I read a lot of spiritual books during the time. A lot, from a lot of different avenues of spirituality, because I wanted to understand, you know, who am I? What is our purpose here? And one of the big things in my book, Midlife Mojo, and the rest of the title is How to Get Through the Midlife Crisis and Emerge as Your True Self, is about leaving the socialized self, the ones that, you know, when we were born and in society and our parents are saying, be a good girl, be a good boy, you know, oh, now you're being bad, leaving that socialized self and becoming our true self. And that is a process, and it's a difficult, and as you said, change happens in chaos. And the midlife crisis, which I call the metamorphosis or the transformation from the socialized self to the true self, is chaos at times. And that is the only way that we can change many times.
So for all of you listening, if you're in a crisis, take heart. Your best days are ahead because the bigger the crisis, the bigger the miracle of change, and don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. But, you know, we don't have much more time together, and I want listeners to get a flavor of, okay, you know, certainly you've given us hope and inspiration, and I appreciate your transparency in your story, but you have your life practice now. I mean, you work with people all around the country, helping them to live their dreams, do the impossible, be unstoppable. Give us a couple of things that we can do, and then again, your website, How to Get More of Wonderful You, because Frankie, you are amazing.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Well, the first thing I'd like you to know is that your past is not your potential. So our potential has no bounds, and we can break free and listen to our self-imposed limits. Self-imposed limits, and we can use our imagination, as you already said, to create unlimited possibilities. I interviewed Dr. Bruce Lipton, you know, eminent cellular biologist from What the Bleep Do We Know, and Bruce said, we have imaginal cells in our body. These are cells that we can command and create to make changes. It's absolutely fascinating, proven true, and this is what we need to do every single day. Two things I need you to understand. The difference between commitment and trying, okay, because a commitment is a vow. When we say, I'll try to change, Deb, I'll try, you know, what we're saying is I'm going to dip my toe in the water. I'm probably not going to like it. I'm not going to really do anything about it. And it gives me a backdoor out. When I commit, when I make that vow to you, I promise to love and honor and obey you, body, I'm saying that I am going to follow through and do what needs to be done. When I was in the hospital and the physiotherapist said to me the first time, okay, I want you to move your leg, and I'm looking at my leg going, move, it wasn't going anywhere. And he's like, move it. And I'm like, I'm trying to move it. And he goes, well, try harder. And I kept looking at my leg, and I was crying, and tears were streaming down my thing, and I'm like, I don't want to, you know, not be able to walk again. And he moved away, and I thought about it for a second, and it hit me. I was committed to not moving my leg because it was going to hurt. And that's an example of an underlying automatic commitment. That underlying commitment was, it will hurt if I move, I'm not going to. My conscious mind said, oh, I want to move my leg, but I was committed to something else because I knew that hurting hurt a lot. I was tired of pain. I didn't want to hurt anymore. So I stopped moving. Once I realized that, I moved my leg a little bit and I go, okay, I'm going to be okay. I am going to be able to follow through with this. So in our lives, when we have these moments that stop us, and we see that all of the things that we hope and dream for are not coming true, it's not because you're bad. It's not because you're doing something. It's because you have a commitment to a different outcome, and you need to go inside and grab that thread and find out where it starts. Why would I ask yourself these questions? Why would I not want to get ahead? Why would I not want to have a happy relationship? Why would I not want to be thin? Why would I not want any of the things that I want? There's a commitment to a different outcome. Change that commitment, change the outcome. It really is that simple, and it's that difficult. And a brilliant thing that you said, Deb, because I say it all the time in the book, is our bodies are just the cars that we drive while we're here. They're not who we are. And it was really interesting. I don't know how many psychiatrists and psychologists they send you to. The insurance companies are crazy to send you for all this stuff. And each and every one of them said to me, oh, well, you don't present like you're in pain. I go, why? Because I have my hair combed and my makeup on. Because in my mind, if I looked on the outside as bad as I felt on the inside, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today. I would have killed myself, literally, truthfully. So that they couldn't recognize that, you know, the mask, or that they couldn't, that they weren't clever enough to understand that we all don't present the same. We're different. We have different methods of coping. It's important. So those are a couple of little nuggets that I'd like to leave you with. But the main thing is, how do you change your life? It's a 5-step system. Think it, feel it, be it, act it, and do it. And that's really what it is. And it's about thinking about what it is you want to do. Feel that state, like really feel it. You know, be the emotion that evokes it. Act as if you already are successful or whatever it is that you want, and then just follow through and do it. And it's the follow through, the commitment, that will change your life.
Wow. Delicious. I'm feeling inspired. Is everybody feeling inspired right now? I'm sure that people are.
Thank you.
I think that is so great. You know, your past is not your potential. Using the imagination, those self-imposed limits, and they are self-imposed because nobody's holding a gun to your head telling you, you must think this about yourself. No, who's doing that? You're doing that to yourself. And the commitment, or that vow versus the trying, but really thinking through the outcome. You know, one of the things that I notice about you, and it's all over your website, it's in your work, and I hear you talking about it, and I want to make sure you give out your radio show as well so that people can continue getting your mind vitamins that way. But you ask a lot of questions. You know, why would I not want, you know, you ask a lot of questions to get a lot of new answers. And, you know, you're known for your 5-step method, your think it, feel it, be it, act it, and follow through. But you know, you did let us know it's simple versus the difficult, But it is possible. But it's a process, isn't it? You work
it is
with people, and it's a process. You know, you didn't get up one day, and all of a sudden, you know, you were ready to run a marathon again. All your money was back. You know, the relationship was perfect. The kids, you know, the dogs were resurrected. I mean, that's not the outcome that happened. But you still have found that joy on the other end of things. And I think that being comfortable in your own skin is something that I notice about you. And for anybody listening, whatever age you are, you know, you are not really your body. I mean, you know, think of what you look like when you were 17, and then think if you're, I mean, I'm 48. I look at a picture of myself at 48. Who knows what I'll look like at 70 if I'm still here. You know, the idea that we don't even look the same. Nothing mm-hmm. is changing, not even the way we look, not our weight. Nothing is nothing is staying the same. So why would anything, if everything on the outside is changing, why would we think that we're not supposed to change spiritually and on the inside? But that really does give the essence of who we are when we think about people saying, you know, I still feel 30 or I still feel 20 or, you know, you look in the mirror and it's like, well, when did that happen? That's not necessarily who I remembered what you look like. You know, because we feel the same on the inside, don't we? That's
yeah,
the one thing.
We
wherever
do.
We go, wherever we go, there you are, wherever you go, you know. And the one thing I can guarantee, no matter who's around you today, they may be gone tomorrow, but you'll still be with yourself. I mean, there's one constant
yeah.
in your life, and it's you. And what you're saying is that we can use everything as an opportunity and look at everything as a gift, if we so choose and have the right mentors to do it.
Yes, absolutely. That is it, truly, in a nutshell. You got it. You actually got it. You get it, Deb.
I am
your
biggest fan, and you're a mentor to me, and I know you're a mentor to others and more people that want to learn more about the wisdom, because this is how we learn from each other. You know, we can't – Eleanor Roosevelt, my constant favorite.
I love her.
Love her. You can't make all the mistakes in life. You can't live long enough to make all the mistakes. You have to learn from other people. And isn't it great that we can meet other people like you, you know, who want to share – knowledge, the experience, strength, and hope, right?
And
I'm going to put myself in there. Love us, and all the people listening. And then we get the seeds, and we plant them in the garden of our heart, and then we grow them, and then we can pass them on to other people. But I really believe we all need mentors. You know, you mentioned about book. I devour words. I devour books. You know, you learn, you read about 10 things. You don't like 8. You love 2. You came out 2
mm-hmm.
ahead. But if you don't put in new thoughts into your brain, just like your computer, if you don't download new software, you're not going to be able to do new things. So if you want to keep going in life, you have to keep growing. So let's share with people how to get more of the unstoppable Frankie Picasso to help us all achieve our dreams and do the impossible. Radio shows, websites, newsletters, give it all to us, girlfriend.
Oh, gosh. Okay, please come to www.unstoppablefrankiepicasso.com. Everything can be found there. My book, Midlife Mojo, can be downloaded from Amazon.com. It can be a Kindle book. You can get an autographed copy if you want to contact me directly through the website. You can order it from Amazon, however you'd like to. It really is a prescription for change, and it doesn't matter what age you are. I wrote to midlife because I was in midlife, and it's always good to write to an audience, but really the steps are the same for any age. And it's been, and I've had young people write to me and you know, they've written onto Amazon and just said how great it was for them, that they understood their parents, that they understood maybe why they did some things in their midlife that they didn't quite understand, why they left marriages, all that kind of stuff. And I stopped doing my show in December, Mission Unstoppable. The archives are there. I'm about to pick it up again. So, you know, there's years of archives there. And so I encourage you to go and listen to Mission Unstoppable if you like music. The Frankie and Johnny Music Hour is one of my shows. Quantum Living has all the years of spiritual authors on there. You can look that up on Blog Talk Radio as well. So there's all sorts of ways that you can hear from me. And I'm happy to talk to anybody free of charge anytime you want to call and just have a conversation with my shoes. That's what we can do and have that little chat.
Well, wow, what a blessing you are. Big love hugs through the airwaves. You are just awesome. Love you. You're going to come back, I hope, and share more of your shine with us. We've had a really packed chat room, tons of guests, a lot of great comments in the chat room. I mean, you're just amazing, and what a jewel in the crown of life you are. Just can't thank you enough. Big love.
You're a fantastic host. Wow, you are a fantastic host. I would love to come back. Thank you.
Best people we know, Club. Best people we know. Well, I just want to thank you again. All right, so everybody, definitely go to Frankie's website and listen to those replays in the archives, too. Lots of great Mind Vitamins book, all sorts of things. We all help each other. And I'm hearing the Blog Talk lady tell me that we're out of time. So remember, in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, to be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Thank you for being part of the Best People We Know family. Share the show with a friend, because the only way that we can keep this free service going for you is if you give us the good ratings and tell people to increase our listening audience. And with that, I'm going to say God bless. Make it a great day. You're awesome. Our guest is awesome. Love you. And enjoy.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.